Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning, and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in. We hope that you listen for the duration of the program, but we intend to speak only those things from God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question about something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study on the program, please feel free to contact us at the address given by the announcer or contact me directly by email. My address is preacher@eastalbertville.org. Also, we want you to know that these radio sermons, as well as sermons that are presented at the East Abbotville Church of Christ, are to be heard on our website. There are also numerous Bible articles and Bible subjects. We send out an email every 2 weeks with the bulletin, and if you'd like to receive it, all you have to do is submit to us your email address, and we'll add you to the list. Also, in addition to the numerous Bible articles and subjects, we have a Bible correspondence course that you can take in the privacy of your home. Also, on Sunday, you can log in to the website and live stream the services at the East Abbotville Church of Christ. All of this is available to you. All you do is log on to www.eastabbotville.org. Let's read Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 13. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." And he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for life does not consist in the abundance of the possessions that he has." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he that lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." We see that wealth has a way of redirecting our vision. If you were to open your Bible to that passage that we just read in Luke 12 and clip a dollar bill over the page and then ask a friend to read the passage, in all likelihood, he'll look at you and say, "Well, I can't. The money is in the way." Well, the material blurs sight of the spiritual. Moses did not have that difficulty. While the treasures of Egypt were constantly before his eyes, he, by faith, managed to see through them to the riches on the other side of the reproach of Christ. We read this in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Let's read verse 24 through 26. "By faith Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward." You see, faith enabled Moses to see the insubstantial, the transient nature of gold, and the eternal glory of God. In contrast, the rich man that we read about in Luke 12, he suffered from materialism. He allowed prosperity to degenerate his spiritual vision, and he walked by sight and not by faith. You see, materialism prevented the rich man from seeing God as the source of his success. Instead of expressing thanks to God for the abundance, he immediately focused on solving the problem of a healthy harvest. And that's what limited vision does. Limited vision gave him the impression that he alone was responsible for the large haul, for he identified it as, remember, my crops. You know, as a farmer, he should have realized how much he needed God to supply the proper amounts of rain, sunshine, the right temperatures to ensure that good harvest. We know from James 1 that verse 17 tells us that God is the origin of all of our blessings. James 1, verse 17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation nor shadow of turning. God's children thanks him for their gifts because they see that all things, truth of the matter is, comes from God. Let's notice 1 Thessalonians 5. Verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." See, wealth is not given to glorify men, but it's given to remind them of their dependency on God. But again, materialism prevented the rich fool from seeing the prophet in wise counsel. He consulted no one about the disposition of the plentiful crop. He only, as the passage says, thought within himself. And you know, it appears that he was unable to see anyone else qualified enough to ask. What a remarkable counseling session he held with himself. And in three brief sentences, he summed up the problem. He developed the solution, and he determined the long-range outcome, and still found room for 15 personal pronouns and references to himself. You know, physical wealth kept him from seeing that he was not enough. He wasn't up to the task of directing his path and deciding his future alone. And that's what we learn and should know from passages like Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23. "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." You know, one of the temptations in which wealth places us is to think that we don't need anyone, and that, of all things, includes God. The wise man Solomon wrote this in Proverbs 30, beginning with verse 8, "Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food you prescribe for me, lest I be poor and deny you and say, who is the Lord?" See, wealth does not bring freedom, but it increases temptation and it puts us more and more in bondage unto it. And also, notice something else that materialism did to the rich man. Materialism prevented the rich man from seeing others in need. He could only see the future pleasure for himself. He gave no thought to the state of others that might be around him. You know, the Lord concluded this parable with the statement in verse 21 that we read. "So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." See, let's understand this. Jesus is not condemning wealth, nor is he rebuking the increasing of wealth. He's rebuking the short-sighted notion that prosperity is for the receiver of it and just him alone. You know, it's incumbent on the prosperous to share with the unfortunate. You know, Timothy, he was to command the rich to be humble, to trust in God, and to be busy with the good works of sharing as a condition of their being able to obtain eternal life. Let's read 1 Timothy chapter 6, beginning with verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. See, wealth is not something that we just completely and totally consume on our own personal pleasure. But wealth that we have increases our responsibility. One other thing about materialism as it relates to this rich man, materialism prevented the rich man from seeing the nature of his own life. You know, he assumed he'd be around to enjoy the abundance, and God told him that he would not survive the night. You see, the rich fool assumed he would live pleasurably on the profits. God told him others would enjoy his wealth. And God will have his own for the poor, whereby at purpose being generous in our living, or by the redistributing of the wealth at the death, at our own death. Even the wealthy must prepare for his own passing. You know, money would not buy another day for the rich man. It did not influence God at all. So rich and poor both die, and they both will give answer to God. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." So it's ironic that history speculates Paul may have suffered from eye trouble when he had such clear spiritual vision. We don't know that for sure, but he knew how to handle prosperity, and he knew how to handle poverty. He made that statement in Philippians 4, verses 11 through 13. How did he do that? By what he said in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. He walked by faith and not by sight. With the eyes of flesh, man sees the material world. When he walks by faith, he sees the eternal. Friends, materialism distracts from our clear vision that we need to have of the spiritual. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. We appreciate you listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. Till then, we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 a.m. and Sunday at 8:30 a.m. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastabbotville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.